Hey, welcome into Stone Cold Shows. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Sports Talk 790's Josh Jordan. Go follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. On today's episode, the good news is Houston's roster is getting healthier by the day. The bad news is that doesn't seem to be helping yet. No time to lick their wounds, though. They've got division business to attend to before all that. Charlie and Josh, welcome in. Series against the Pirates produced a third of an inning of baseball this team will never forget, and 26 and two-thirds, they can't forget fast enough. Baseball will always baseball, so of course, on the night of the most anticipated pitching matchup of the series, each starter gets knocked out relatively early, and the offense is combined for 20 runs. But outside of that six-run eighth on Wednesday, this was an ugly series for Houston, and it was the pitchers that really got taken to the woodshed. Charlie, what happened to that pitching staff that we were starting to feel so optimistic about?
Yeah, look, they're a fluke win away from getting swept. The stigma that ordinarily would be attached to getting swept by the Pirates doesn't apply this season. Pittsburgh is a pesky bunch that should at least hang around the wild card race in the National League. They have a depth of some interesting young pitching. But in terms of the Astros pitching getting battered, multiple factors. The ex-Pirate, Mike Burrow, should walk the plank. He's been a huge disappointment this season, and Joe Espada can prattle on after each start. Well, he gave us five innings. He gave us six innings. It was really close to being a good start. Well, you know, your aunt with a little bit different equipment, she's really close to being your uncle. Mike Burrow stinks as a Houston Astro so far. He's number one in home runs allowed. I mean, his routine start is 5 to 6 innings with 3 to 6 runs allowed. You add it up, ERA of 5.66 virtually never delivers you a quality start. And that he stays in games and gives you some innings, that's not saving your bullpen. That's just, well, desperation, and you run out of options to soak up innings in the third and fourth inning. So Burrows needs to get it figured out. Am I at least with consecutive starts where you could say, all right, there's maybe a proper track there. Arrighetti was due a mulligan, honestly. And Tang, until it all evaporated in the sixth inning in the finale, had been very solid for five innings. But some credit to the Pirates, and a fact about their offense dovetails with the suckdom that is the Astros lineup when taken as a full entity. The top four guys, the four regulars atop the Pirates order, Spencer Horwitz, Brandon Lowe, Brian Reynolds, Ryan O'Hearn. All four of them have OPSs comfortably over 800. The Astros have Yordan Alvarez as the only guy in their lineup with an OPS better than any of those four Pirates. It drops off a cliff from Yordan. Walker, overall having a solid season, but you know what? His last 25 games now, he's batting 163. And Christian Walker was hit 325, and whoa, what a year! Last time he ended a game hitting over 300, he was at 307. Since then, 163. Timely knock here and there that he still leads Yordan by one for RBI going into the weekend series with the Athletics. That's nice, but for a month now, Christian Walker has stunk, and he bats third or cleanup every night. Pena has gotten it going as he's settled in, but there's just not enough in the lineup. And to drive that point home further, it's embarrassing that they signed Lamont Wade off the street, a guy who had a couple of real nice years with the San Francisco Giants. Those years were 2023, 2024. 2025, he was fetid garbage, completely collapsed, didn't hit 175. He could not get a job going to spring training this year. So he goes to the White Sox on a minor league contract. I know the White Sox are a surprise so far this season, but Wade could not make them. He was doing all right in the minors, but the White Sox weren't calling him up. So he opts out of his minor league contract, and the Astros pounce upon him and sign him to a major league contract, and he bats fifth his first game joining the Astros. That's just sad. I mean, it's been an ongoing saga of sadness how pathetic their outfield offense is overall. But that they go with Lamont Wade over Joey Loperfido. That, yeah, Joe, you just go to AAA now. You've been playing several games. You're ready to be activated. But we're going to go with 32-year-old Lamont Wade over you. Dana Brown, that's embarrassing. If this is the belated left-handed bat you added, PU. And, hey, good for Colin Price, who's having a decent year at AAA, gets to make his major league debut, certainly looked like a minor leaguer in the batter's box in his first game. But it's only one game. And Cesar Salazar, pretty low bar that you'll need to do to be better than him as an offensive force. But Colin Price does not have a quality minor league pedigree. Look, the middle game of the series took forever. Vasquez caught over 200 pitches, so someone else was going to catch the game on Thursday. But 5-9, Wade, Cam Smith, Taylor Trammell, Colin Price, Nick Allen. That's just not a credible major league lineup.
It's the same deal from the last series, guys. The offense goes crazy in game two, and then you get nothing in game three. Right? They were shut out in game three against the Brew Crew, right? You get one run in the finale of this Pirates series. So you talk about the pitching, Brandon. I'm on the offense here. Like, come on, guys. He's got to score some runs. And Charlie must be reading off my sheet here. Zach Cole and Joey Loperfido. And, oh, yeah, we're going to add Lamont Wade. How about that Jesus Sanchez guy that you traded away for Joey Loperfido, and so many people are like, oh, that's not such a bad trade. Get this, Astros fans. If Jesus Sanchez was on the team, he'd have the third highest batting average and the third highest slugging percentage right now of guys that have actually played a normal amount of baseball games this season. That is looking like a terrible trade by Dana Brown. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. I also didn't like Espada pinch hitting. Zach, I know the money, Charlie, but come on, man. I don't even think that would have put him over the CBT. That would have been close. But and pinch hitting, what was it, Zach Allen? They put Jake Myers in his spot in the finale. Like, he's the only, he started the game two rally. And Jake Myers, what, he had three home runs last year and he's done nothing this season. That made zero sense to me. One positive, at least Brian Abreu wasn't a train wreck in the finale. But this is what bad baseball teams do, guys. We keep saying it. When the offense shows up, the pitching doesn't, and vice versa. And look, it's not enough just to, hey, we had a big win. And it's hard to watch this, too. How many people actually watch that game to rally, the most exciting game of the year? I did, because I have to, but otherwise I would have checked out. So I feel bad for the baseball fans that are really just in it for love of the game.
Let's cast an optimistic line out there. I submit to you this Astros lineup is actually just two batters away from really having a shot at something. Unfortunately, those batters are 2017 Jose Altuve and 2019 Alex Bregman.
And to your point, Christian Walker, his last 30 days have looked much more like last season than they did the first month of this season. And, you know, someone who's really starting to stick out to me is Isak Paredes. You know, he had a couple of homers in this series, but his results have really felt pedestrian this season. So I looked back at his career numbers and it's not really that far off. Like, where he's at right now, that's kind of around who he is as a career hitter. It feels like less because he was better last season. But then you look, that was kind of his career year. So we're judging him off of his high watermark, which Houston hoped was a trend and not an anomaly. So far, it's looking like an anomaly. Obviously, there's still plenty of season left to play, but Paredes just has not looked like the same guy. I mean, he still works counts, but the timely hits are kind of gone. And he just looks like a dude, which is hard in this lineup because there's a lot of bad hitters. And I'll circle back to the pitching before we move on here, because I know Joe Espada doesn't have a whole lot to work with here, and I'm not a fan or detractor of Espada, but I don't understand his bullpen usage. Tuesday, Burrows comes unraveled in the sixth, which then Joe calls an ochre to put the fire out. But then he hands the ball to Abreu, who finishes burning down the game, giving up a three-run bomb. I just don't understand why you burn Okert if you're going to let Abreu bring the gas can. Then on Thursday, he has Okert go for 2 innings, 40 pitches in a game that you trail by 4 runs. 40 pitches during a 4-run deficit game. And I guess, yeah, you're trying to keep it close enough to maybe recapture Wednesday's magic or whatever. But with no day off between the series, I just don't understand the logic. And you might say, well, Hader's back, so it lengthens the back end of the bullpen. Hader's only going to pitch when they have a lead going into leverage. So Hader doesn't really lengthen the back end of your bullpen unless you have a lead, which they didn't. So I don't understand overusing one of your three best pitchers out of the pen. Again, I'm not saying that there's any good options for Joe, but I just feel like he's really pressing, and I feel like the arms are going to take the brunt of the abuse here.
I think I said Zach Allen. I meant Nick Allen. I was thinking of Zach Cole. So just wondering.
Yeah, we got you. Yeah, we understood completely. Before we move on.
Interchangeable parts, just none of them can hit. So Nick Allen for the Mauricio Dubon groupies. Nick Allen's OPS is about 20 points below Dubon's. Look, fair overarching criticism, Josh. Lo Profito in, Sanchez out was purely to save $5 million. Allen in, Dubon out was in to save over $4 million. But Dubon here would not be making an appreciable difference in the Astros lineup.
Charlie, while we're at it, just give me a word for Fidelity One Mortgage, please.
Hey, not many bigger deals in life, right, than buying a home. Fidelity One Mortgage, Houston company, Greg Sheena has been the co-owner for 36 years. This is what he does. This is what Fidelity One does, originating loans all over Texas, actually, homes and investment properties. Summer is functionally here, which means competition for purchasing homes increases. Improve your odds of an accepted offer by securing pre-approval. Do it with Fidelity One Mortgage. You're still free to rate shop if you'd like, but you will learn that Fidelity One Mortgage is just fine when it comes to rates. Whether buying, refinancing, or tapping into home equity, Fidelity One Mortgage covers it from A to Z. They'll help you qualify, apply, and be approved, and make the process as stress-free as possible for you. Mention me or Stone Cold Stros to Greg and get up to a bonus $600 credit at closing for the appraisal. Call Greg at Fidelity One Mortgage, 713-952-9276, 952-9276, Legalese time, NMLS 311-100.
So I mentioned in the open, it's time to take care of some division business. Starting with the A's, at least the level of competition decreases, at least in theory, save for Nick Kurtz, who just abuses Houston pitching. Two of the three expected starters for Houston are carrying ERAs north of 5, so I'm sure Kurtz is licking his chops. But I guess what I'm saying is, come on, Peter Lambert. What are you guys looking for in this series?
Yeah, Nick Kurtz, who walked in 20 consecutive games earlier this season. The Astros, up what he's done to them, may want to make a run at walking him. Well, you hope not 20 plate appearances in this series. But remember the 4 home run game at Daikin Park last season, and this close to 5 home runs, another ball banging off the wall in left field. He's probable American League All-Star because he's picked up after a horrible start, the converse of Christian Walker, who's faded after an excellent start. The A's have been bad over the last 3 weeks. The Astros catching them at a pretty good time. Their pitching staff is not good. They're going with a guy with an ERA over 5 Friday, TBD on Saturday, then a young guy making his third, maybe fourth major league start by the name of Gage Jump on Sunday. And let me throw this one to those not exactly pleased as punch with Dana Brown. Gage Jump was a second round pick in the 2024 draft. He's in a big league rotation already. Peyton Tolley, a real good looking young left-hander with the Red Sox, was a second round pick in the 2024 draft. Another second round pick in that draft, a kid named Ryan Sloan's considered one of the 5 best pitching prospects in the minor leagues already. He's in the Seattle Mariners organization. In the first round of that same draft, the Astros took Walker Yannick. The catcher out of Sam Houston State, struggling to hit his way out of a paper bag at Double A. 2023, the Tigers in the second round took Kevin McGonigal, who's the early front runner for American League Rookie of the Year, OPS in the high 8s. He's going to be a 15-year major leaguer. In the first round of that draft, the Astros took Bryce Matthews in a pick that at the time was considered a reach by most in the baseball industry. Hey, plenty of other teams passed on McGonigal and Tolley and Sloan and Jump, but if you're an Astros fan, you're not gnashing your teeth about other teams. It's about the state of the Astros minor league farm system, which remains deplorably bad. Good news is the A's farm system overall is considered crappy as well. Likewise, the Rangers, likewise, the Angels, Those Mariners, however, one of the two or three best in the game. If Oakland ever spends money on pitching, they could be another real problem for the Astros in years to come also, because they have more young talent in their lineup than the Astros certainly have.
Yeah, I remember when the Walker Yannick pick went down, I kind of scratched my head. I'm like, really? This guy? Okay. So I'm not all that surprised that it's not panning out. For me in this upcoming series, how about you win the first game of the series? That seemed to work pretty good against the Cubs and against the Rangers. Let's try and win the first game of the series, and then you at least have a chance of coming away with the series victory. That's what I'm going to look forward to there with the Astros. It's getting to the point where it can't be, hey, what a great one game in the series. You're running out of time, guys. And I know they're getting guys back, but the Mariners have been on a roll, and it's not trending in the right direction. So they got to find a way to win this ball game. And unfortunately, I think Peter Lambert actually gives them the best chance out of their three starters. So let's go, Big P.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking for Tatsuya Imai, because I'm pretty sure I know what Peter Lambert is. I think we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Look, he's had a good run, but he's Peter Lambert. We've seen this movie with other pitchers. You just replace the name. Either they're J.P. France or Jason Alexander or whatever the case is. And then Burroughs. I feel like I know what that is, too. It's not working out. And maybe he has a chance to bounce back next year, but I think for this year, I know what he is. Imai, on the other hand, I don't really know what he is yet. So that's one I'm paying especially close attention to, because if you can get Imai on track somehow and you can ride Lambert for however long you can, and assuming that Arrigetti's rough outing was just a hiccup, and then you get Brown back, you got a rotation of guys who you feel slightly good about. Where is the offense going to come from? Hey, I'll worry about that later. But the pitching, if you can build one brick at a time, that's a good one. Final thoughts before we're out the door.
We mentioned this prior episode, pretty critical two-week stretch at hand. Now, other opponents look at the Astros as a relatively soft touch, a team against, hey, we have a chance to get well. But the Astros at 28-36, it's fewer than 100 games to go now, still plenty of season. But as we noted last episode, through with the Pirates, the Astros now play four consecutive trash opponents. Well, the A's not trash, but they have been in the last 3 weeks, from several games over 500 to multiple games under 500, hitting town off giving up four in the bottom of the ninth to blow a game to the Cubs on Thursday. But the A's here, then at the sorry Angels, then at the sorry Royals, then home for the Tigers. They're not going to face Scooble. Hope they face Fromber for the theater of it, at least. But if the Astros have a crummy 2 weeks against the only teams in the American League with a worse record than they have, maybe Boston, give or take a half game, extremely ominous. And do they have it in them to go 8-4 over these 12 games, which would at least keep them thrust well in the wild card picture? And against the caliber of competition they're facing, I mean, if you're ever going to have an extended stretch of baseball, you know, 6 out of 7 was nice, but you know, you need 11 out of 15 at some point, or 14 out of 20 at some point. And if this stretch can't jumpstart something like that, even still without Hunter Brown, Altuve probably joins them within the next few games, but at what level will he be? The clock starts ticking on this season if the Astros don't play winning baseball these next couple weeks.
Yeah, you got to hope Altuve comes back, and that's what I'm going to be paying attention to, and plays well. It looks somewhat like the old Altuve. Yiner Diaz, can he give you something when he returns? That would be nice, but I mean, the way he was striking out, that's the problem. If these guys come back and they keep playing like they were playing before, how much is that going to help you? But at least with Altuve, you have some pedigree there. Maybe he can get rolling. We know with Altuve, high peak, and then the valleys are low as he's getting older. But when he gets hot, you can ride him for a couple series. Maybe you can get something like that out of Altuve, because we know they need it. And we've got to see Bryce Matthews and all the other guys they keep rolling out there. You need Altuve to look like Altuve.
And to amplify your point, Josh, you said the old Altuve as opposed to old Altuve.
Yeah, and to that point, you talked about Joe Espada riding him. Let's ride him a little less hard Like, let's act like we've got him on the roster for a few more years, like they actually do. Give him a day off. I don't care what he says. If that's the difference between you getting a wild card spot or not, then what were your odds really to begin with? If you're relying on Altuve at this stage of his career to have to play every single day, it's just ridiculous. It's an indictment on Dana Brown that this roster is in such putrid shape as it is. And we'll end it on that positive note. Make sure that if you're still watching, click like on the video, subscribe if you haven't already. If you're listening on podcasts on apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Hey, really do appreciate all you guys that are watching through this. The view numbers have certainly been on the decline, as I'm sure not just exclusive with us. I'm sure Space City has seen a decreased viewership, as Josh talked about. So many people bailing on that game on Wednesday before the big dramatic comeback. They probably watched it on YouTube. So for those that are on YouTube and consume us, we appreciate you hanging with us because you are the real ones. For Josh and Charlie, I'm Brandon saying so long. We're going to see you next time. And as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.